Welcome to Missionary Echoes, a ministry of the God's Missionary Church in Lebanon, Pennsylvania. Thank you for joining us today. I'm Pastor Joel Sickler, and I trust that you'll be blessed as we worship the Lord together.
Dare to run with our eyes fixed on Jesus, following the footsteps of the one who's gone before us. Dare to run in the power of His Spirit, called to be victors in a race already won. Dare to run. We must have our Savior's vision, compassion for the lost, courage for the future, love at any cost. Jesus, following the footsteps of the one who's gone before us. Dare to run in the power of His Spirit, called to be victors in a race already won. Dare to run.
Well, it's good to be with you once again. This week, we've enjoyed the ministry of Jonathan and Lurie Edwards. In both music and preaching, God has helped and moved among us. And so I'd like to share some of that with you today. For our first song, here's Jonathan Lurie Edwards singing, "I'll Never Walk Alone."
Many are the heartaches we have here, and sometimes it seems we must face them on our own. But I remember Jesus said, "I am with you always." That's why I can say, "I'll never walk." Trials of life, I know that Jesus will guide until we come to that day when every mile He'll repay. I'm so glad I can say I'll never walk
sickness, through sorrow, we sometimes get weak, but I know God will help us if His face we'll only see. For you don't have to fight life's battles anymore all alone. If you'll only trust in Jesus, you'll never walk alone.
I'll never walk alone. He is always by my side. Through the trials of life, I know that Jesus will guide until we come to that day when every
He truly is a God who cares and understands each mile of the journey of this life. So thankful for His presence and that we can talk to Him even today. Let's do that and take our concerns to him this morning. Lord, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your blessings. Thank you, Lord, that you're God who walks with us faithfully each mile of our journey. You see each listener this morning. You see exactly what they're facing. I pray, Lord, that you would come and meet with them. Even during this hour, Lord, would you speak to their heart, encourage them. Lord, if there's one listening this morning that doesn't know you, I pray that their heart would be drawn to you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. This program is an outreach of the God's Missionary Church at 2127 Hill Street in Lebanon, Pennsylvania. If you don't have a church family, I invite you to join us each Sunday morning at 9:30 for Sunday school, 10:30 for a morning worship service, and 6 o'clock for an evening worship service. On Wednesday nights, we have a prayer and praise service at 7 o'clock p.m. Now this week, as I mentioned earlier, we've enjoyed the ministry of Jonathan and Larie Edwards as they've shared in music and in preaching, and God has come and helped us. And today marks our closing day for this scheduled revival. And so at 10:30, Jonathan Edwards will be speaking, and also tonight at 6. And if you're able in the area and able to stop by and enjoy the ministry, I trust you'll be able to do that. But if not, you can always go to lebanongmc.com, where you can watch live broadcasts of the service, find out about upcoming events, and even share prayer requests with us. That web address, again, is lebanongmc.com.
You may ask me why I'm singing. I can hear the joy bells ringing. I've been on a visit so inspiring. There's within my heart a feeling. I can feel the Spirit stealing. And I know from sin I am retiring.
I've been with Jesus, and I'm so happy. I can feel Him in my soul. With love He sought me, with blood He bought me. I've been with Jesus, and I'm whole.
Can't you hear an echo stealing from the past? It's so revealing. Stop and listen, don't go on unheeding. Flowing like a river in that far off sweet forever. Don't you see it's Jesus that you're needing?
I've been with Jesus, and I'm so happy. I can feel Him in my soul. With love He sought me, with blood He bought me. I've been with Jesus, and I'm whole.
Soon I'm going to make a journey, one from which I'm not returning. And I'll live forever in His glory. But until that bright tomorrow, in this world of sin and sorrow, everywhere I go I'll tell the story.
I've been with Jesus, and I'm so happy. I can feel Him in my soul. With love He sought me, with blood He bought me. I've been with Jesus, and I'm
I want to begin by asking you the question, what motivates your choices? Are you motivated by external pressure or internal principle? For scriptural consideration today, I want to direct your thinking to an Old Testament passage of scripture found in the book of Daniel, chapter 3, a time period in the history of the Jewish nation in which many people had been taken captive as slaves under the then monarchy of Nebuchadnezzar, who was king and ruler of the then known world to a great degree, but the nation of Babylon. And among those that have been taken as captives, there are three Jewish young men that we read about in Daniel chapter 3. That were faced with a very important and serious choice. As we consider the background, the scenario, it was a setting in which King Nebuchadnezzar had determined to build this huge golden statue made out of pure gold, a huge statue. According to what we read in the scriptures, it was approximately 90 feet tall, huge statue. And Nebuchadnezzar, being the arrogant monarch and dictator that he was at that time, and truly the ruler of the then known world in many respects, he had determined in building and fabricating this huge golden statue that it was going to be something that would be worshipped, at least initially. And he had prepared and planned for a dedication ceremony. And in his arrogance, I'm sure that he was considering that statue as representative of who he was. And so in demanding and requiring people to give homage to that statue, it was the same as if they were worshiping him. Well, in this setting, we find three Jewish young men. Their Babylonian names were Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And in that setting, we find early on that a command came forth. It would be as if Nebuchadnezzar had issued a law. The command came forth, and the command was, and I'll just read to you from Daniel chapter 3 and verse 4, the command came forth initially from a herald, and it simply states that he cried aloud and said, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages." We see the emphasis on the command. It was not merely a suggestion. It wasn't merely take it or leave it, but it was an absolute command, and it was a command that was accompanied by consequence. For in verse 6 of Daniel 3, that same herald continued with the consequences if you did not carry through on the command. He said, "Whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour," in other words, very, very soon, there wasn't going to be time for reconsideration, he said, "shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace." I ask you the question, what motivates your choices? Clearly on this setting, we could see that there was a tremendous amount of external pressure. So much pressure, stiff consequences. I ask you again, what would you do? These three young men, they had strong conviction. And we could find by reading the context that they had attained some leadership positions in the kingdom. They had gifts, they had abilities. They were actually, no doubt, very intellectually blessed, but they also operated from an internal principle. And that was, they recognized that the commands of their God was more important than the commands of a government official. Be he king, be he monarch, be he president, no matter who he was, their internal principle ruled their choice and motivated their choice. For among God's commands that we would refer to as the Ten Commandments, they were very well aware that the first of the ten very specifically stated, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." And the second of the ten very clearly stated, "Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image." To these three young men, no matter how much external pressure was put upon their decision making, they were not going to violate internal principle. They were not going to allow their convictions to be violated simply to obey a command, yes, a very consequential demand, but they were not going to allow that to violate their internal principle. We could notice as we look a little further in the scripture lesson that very clearly they stood firm, they stood tall, and we move from the viewpoint of the command that was given to influence their choice to what we could refer to as a conspiracy. In verses 8 through 12, we read that there were certain of the Chaldeans that were kind of looking on, and they came to the king, and we read that they accused the Jews. And they began to speak to the king, and they reminded him of his law that he had passed, and the fact that the requirements were that as soon as the music or the orchestra began to play, that they were to fall down and worship. And these conspirators came forth and made it very clear to the king. They were sort of like the tattletales. They came in and they said, "There are certain Jews which you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon. And they named them. They knew who they were. They were in positions of leadership. You can almost sense a bit of jealousy on the part of these conspirators, because they said, which you have set over the affairs of the province. And sometimes in the midst of our culture and our time period, as we endeavor to live the life that God has given us to live, there may be those around us. We call it at times peer pressure. Certainly peer pressure is something that teens struggle with, but beyond the teenage realm, adults struggle with it as well, especially in many forms when it comes in areas of our culture that intend to intimidate us into making a choice. But I ask you again, what motivates your choice? Is it external pressure or internal principle? The peer pressure was on. The external pressure was on. These Chaldeans were basically coming before the king and making him very aware, in case he did not know, that these three guys were violating his command. The pressure was on, but these three continued to operate on the premise of internal principle, and even with that kind of external peer pressure and conspirators around them, basically making fun or mocking or saying, you're not going to get by with this, they continued to remain firm and did not cave in. They chose based on internal principle. But as we move a little further in the scripture lesson, we come near the conclusion of the story, and we find that the pressure moved from what we could call command, as we've already considered, to conspiracy that involved other people trying to influence them. Then it moved to something even stronger yet, in what we would call coercion. They were going to be forced, as it were, to make a decision contrary to their convictions. We find that the conspirators who had gone to the king certainly caused the king's anger to be stirred. We read that he was outraged and full of fury, and he commanded Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to come in, and he actually said, I'm going to give you another chance. I'll give you an opportunity to change your mind. He said, I'm going to allow the orchestra to play one more time. I'm going to give you a chance to follow my commands one more time. And then he concluded his option by stating this. He said, who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? He was so arrogant in feeling that he had the power and the authority to literally coerce these three young men into making a decision that was contrary to their convictions and literally was making fun of their God. It's a very interesting response that these three young men had. I remind you of the amazing, extreme pressure that is now on them, and yet they are continuing to be motivated in their choosing based on internal principle. They responded, actually, we could sort of paraphrase it, that they responded with respect. They respected him for his position, but they said, we're not going to beat around the bush about it. We respect you for who you are, but we just simply want you to know you can give us two options. You can give us three options. You can give us 10 options to change our mind, and we're not going to change it. Because the reality is, our God whom we serve is, in fact, able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And, in fact, he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. They were not disrespectful, but they did not waver in their response. And they went on to say, even if our God, who, by the way, is able to deliver us, even if he chooses not to, that's not going to change our mind, because we are determined to choose based on internal principle, not external pressure. They said, we will not. There was no wavering. We will not serve your gods. We will not worship the golden image which you have set up our mind is made up. And I would remind you of the factors that would have made this choice very difficult. I would summarize them very quickly into three areas. The factors that would have made this choice very difficult was who this command was coming from. It was coming from a monarch, a king who, in fact, could carry out his threat. It wasn't an empty threat. He could literally carry it out. A second factor that would have made this external pressure extreme was the fact he had actually been their friend. They knew him personally. He had placed them in leadership positions because he had seen their talents and abilities. He had been their benefactor, and it would be difficult to make a choice that is completely opposed to someone that you have a friendship with. But then, of course, the third extreme factor that was involved in influencing their choice was his threat. And I repeat, he could carry it out, but his threat of death. It was not merely a fine. It was not merely a demotion. It was not merely getting a bad grade on a test. It was not merely being fired from a job. It was death. What motivates your choices? I am happy to tell you, based on this scripture lesson, that these three young men, so exemplary to us today, and I believe this story is just as relevant today as it was then, they made a choice based on internal principle, not external pressure. They had a great attitude, but they had a firm answer. And in the end, if you read through the story, you'll find that God honored them for honoring Him. They came forth victorious out of that serious crisis and that fiery furnace experience, and in the end, they were actually promoted for making the right choice. I challenge you to determine to make your choices based on internal principle, not upon external principle. Pressure.
We've heard of many great stories of mighty men of God, and how they vowed to serve Him as on life's road they trod. Though often they were tempted, and many times were tried, they would not quit, for they knew that only He could satisfy. Well, I'm just not satisfied without Jesus by my side. This world just cannot offer what I have deep inside. There's nothing to take the place of His amazing grace. I'm just not satisfied without the Lord. Now you may seek for pleasures and many worldly thrills, but there'll always be a longing that only He can really fill. Now when all your searching's ended and there's nothing left to try, it's then, my friend, that you will find that only He can satisfy. I'm just not satisfied without Jesus by my side. This world just cannot offer what I have deep inside. There's nothing to take the place of His amazing grace. I'm just not satisfied without the Lord. Well, I'm just not satisfied without Jesus by my side. This world just cannot offer what I have deep inside. There's nothing to take the place of His amazing grace. I'm just not satisfied. I won't be satisfied. I'm just not satisfied without the Lord. Not satisfied without the Lord.
I'm thankful this morning that we can know the reality of God walking with us, dwelling with us, being our Lord, Savior, and guide. My friend, do you personally know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Do you personally know the power of God at work in your life? Our time for this program is quickly coming to a close, but if you have a question about how to be saved or a spiritual matter, we would love to talk with you and share Jesus with you in person. You can stop by today during regular service times at 10:30 this morning or 6 o'clock tonight, or you can call our church office and set up an appointment to talk to someone who cares about your spiritual condition. You can call a church office. The number to call is 717-273-3690. Or you can send us an email at lebgmc@gmail.com. That's lebgmc@gmail.com. It would be our delight to talk to you and help you in any way that we can. We've found Jesus Christ to be the answer, the hope, and help of all who seek Him. I'm Pastor Joel, wishing you a very blessed week.